At Alma, we know the connection between you and your therapist matters. But if you're already feeling stressed and burnt out, the idea of trying to find a therapist you really connect with can be overwhelming. That's why Alma's focused on helping you find the right therapist for you. When you browse their online directory, you can filter by the qualities that are most important to you. Then, book free 15-minute consultations with any therapist you're interested in seeing. And because 95% of therapists at Alma accept insurance, you can find care that's affordable too. You want to talk to someone, but not just anyone. Alma is there to help you find the right fit. Visit helloalma.com/therapy30 to schedule a free consultation today. That's helloalma.com/therapy30.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Got our take cannons loaded and ready.
Ready.
Absolutely dominant on deep routes. Absolutely dominant on short routes.
The boys are back, baby.
Excellent separation against man coverage.
This is Reception, Reception, the show.
Yo, what's cracking, everybody? James Coe, Matt Harmon here with you, and you're listening to Reception, Perception, the show. And we welcome back the creator of Reception, Perception for the first time on the East Coast. We're talking about Matt Harmon. What's up, man? I mean, for our podcast listeners, they can't see you. I can see you, of course, but you look like you're in the bunker, pal. This is like our old school NFL Network days when they stuck us in the closet.
I mean, yeah, this is literally a closet behind me, so it's actually not far off. It's the condo cast, which is what I've been calling it on my Yahoo show. I'm in the third bedroom of my mom's beach condo here at Virginia, at Sandbridge in Virginia Beach. There's a little some bunk beds over here left over from the previous owner that's over here in the corner, which is and I tweeted the picture out, I think last week maybe. I don't know. Time is such an illusion to me at this point in my life. But this is like a little folding table, like a folding chair. I look like I'm in like the church multi-purpose room. Something like that.
But we're back at it, baby. We are back at it.
Oh, yeah.
On the grind. Let's go. And today is a really exciting day. For me, at least, because we get to go over some of your findings here on some of the truly superstar players in the NFL. You know, the way we've built it up too, right? It's interesting, right? We talk about the draft prospects. These guys have never played a snap in the NFL. Then we talk about, you know, the second year players or basically players that wrapped up their rookie season. These guys are emerging players, potentially emerging players, potentially guys that want to get into this group that we're going to talk about today, Matt. We're talking about the truly elite players, Justin Jefferson, Ja'Marr Chase, players of that nature. And so I really like talking about the greats. You know, it's fun talking about prospects and guys on the come up, but man, the guys we're talking about today, I mean, they have not only proven their worth, but they are building on a terrific career.
Which is funny too, because we're technically the bucket of guys that we're on it for the site right now. And is year 3 to 4 guys like that. We're not at like the top of the league or anything, but the June 5th drop, which I know I didn't drop everybody at once. It was like, let me move across the country and then we'll have a player. I didn't know I was going to be moving across the country and then having a, like the week before a player drop. Right. So, I'm still rolling guys right now that fit in that year 3 to 4 bucket, but, it's the guys that were drafted in 2020 and 2021, which is amazing that, yeah, these are like a few of these guys we're going to talk about today are like the top of the league guys. And, I actually ended up, because of this drop, I ended up pitching an idea for an article for Yahoo that's going to come out here in a couple of days. Like, who are the best receivers in the NFL that are 25 and under? And it's really hard to like narrow it down to a top 10. I'm like, I'm going to pitch it. Let's do top 15 instead of top 10, because it's so hard to leave guys off the list, because these last three draft classes, second year players included, I mean, there's a lot of good players here in this drop. So, yeah, like guys like CeeDee Lamb's going to hit the site by the time this podcast is out, you know, and he's definitely up here. But like Justin Jefferson, Ja'Marr Chase, like those are top five guys, period, probably in the NFL right now. That's how good these players are. So, yeah, I know I sound like a broken record every time we do a player drop, but man, the wide receiver position is just so stacked with talent. And you know, if you're doing any sort of rankings and you're not sweating it, it's hard. It's really difficult.
Yeah. CD Lamb, Devontae Smith will be coming out relatively soon. Who else we got out here?
Devontae is up on the site. Devontae is up on the site. T. Higgins is another one I'll be working on right after CD Lamb. Right. You know, then we've got some. Then we're sort of in the Gabe Davis, Kadarius Toney tier of players. Nico Collins, after you slandered me when you had Derek Klassen on, I have a weird affinity for Nico Collins.
You do. Well, is that not true? You do.
Somebody pointed out.
Show me where the lies are at.
Well, somebody pointed out on Twitter, like, isn't that kind of your whole brand is like a weird affinity for players? Like, yeah, hey, that's the backbone of the business is my weird affinity for certain receivers. True. But even Rashad Bateman, he's got like, you know, five games to put up, but I'll probably put up something on him.
There you go.
I'm not sure if I'm going to do like Darnell Mooney, Chase Claypool right away, or like maybe save them until like later in the summer. So, I think this is a year more than ever. It's a reminder of just how many guys I really want to put up on the site. So, we'll see, but definitely T. Higgins, CeeDee Lamb. Those guys will go up there. Kadarius Toney, Gabe Davis, Nico Collins, Rashad Bateman. Those are the definite ones from this drop.
Okay. So the four guys we're going to talk about today, because there's a lot of players that dropped on this June 5 drop, by the way, go to the website, receptionperception.com. Justin Jefferson, Ja'Marr Chase, Brandon Ayuk, and Jerry Jeudy. Now the first two guys, I mean, we're talking elite of the elite, and I want to just jump right into it. How about Justin Jefferson? You dropped this guy's player profile, Matt, and man, it's all green all across the board. This dude is just lighting it up everywhere he goes.
Yeah. I mean, he's such a superstar, and you know, the great part about this is it was really easy to see it coming. I actually revisited the 2021 player profile for Justin Jefferson, and I mean, he was above the NFL average green route on all but one of the route types, the flat route in 2021. He was over the 90th percentile in success rate versus man, zone, and press coverage in 2021. So like I wrote in the player profile that just dropped on the site, you know, there was a lot of things that it was easy to predict the monster season coming for Justin Jefferson. Like Kevin O'Connell was going to come in and tweak his pre-snap deployment a little bit. They were certainly, even Jefferson has talked about this, they were going to leave behind a run heavy offense from the boomer ball Mike Zimmer days into, you know, more of a modern offense here in Kevin O'Connell. But most importantly, the easiest reason to see it coming was that Justin Jefferson had shown in his first 2 years in the NFL, he was ready to join the elite wide receiver tier. And I think obviously 2022 has really cemented that. And, you know, you mentioned it, all of the many, many, many superlatives from his reception perception profile this year.
Yeah.
98th percentile success rate versus press coverage, eighth best all time for Justin Jefferson among the players sampled for reception perception. He was 79% success rate versus man, 96th percentile, 85.6% success rate against zone, 92nd percentile, above the NFL average on every single route type. He was just an absolute animal. And it's funny because of those three things that I mentioned earlier, like pre-snap deployment, play calling tendencies, and him being really, really good at football. The one thing I think that actually mattered most in why Justin Jefferson erupted, and surprise, surprise, it was actually his ability, his talent, because when you look at like his pre-snap deployment,
yeah,
you know, I talked a little bit about this with Justin Jefferson name drop at the Super Bowl. You know, there was a lot of talk about him being in the Cooper Kupp role, and like that didn't really play out.
Not at all.
Right. Like Jefferson, 6.1% of his sample snaps in reception perception were in the backfield. That was mostly as like a pre-snap motion player. His slot rate actually fell 23.9% to 21.4% in reception perception sample. The off the line, you know, when he was off behind the line of scrimmage, off the line was about the same 31.5% in 2021, 32.5% in 2022. So really it was just more so that he took a massive, massive leap as a player, and he was already at such high highs. I mean, yeah, this dude is at the peak of position right now. Like he's on a Hall of Fame trajectory. And I don't really think, I don't even really see how that's arguable based on what he's putting up on the field. And this was his third NFL season. It's nuts.
Crazy. Yeah, it's absolute craziness. 128 receptions, 1,800 yards, 8 touchdowns, nearly a 70% catch rate. This guy was absolutely unstoppable. 79% success rate versus man. That's a top 15 score of all time in reception perception history. You know, I was going through the database here. And by the way, you guys need to get, if you don't have the Sicko Tier subscription plan, I don't blame you. I'm just saying what you're missing here is all the historical data. Right.
Yeah.
And what you see here with Justin Jefferson is, so I'm going through all the historical data and, you know, he's not an all timer really anywhere, but golly, Matt, this guy is truly great just about everywhere.
Yeah. Oh, for sure. And that's what's, I think, really special is like these guys who are 90th percentile and yeah, like not peak, but at least above the 90th percentile in all three success rates, man, press, zone. That is like the best of the best groups. That's like, you know, your Stephon Diggs, your prime Odell Beckham, your Antonio Brown was like that guy, you know?
Right.
So the Davante Adams, that's the type of group that Justin Jefferson is now joining. And I think this leads into an interesting conversation too, because I think when you just think of like the definition of elite wide receiver, elite number one wide receiver, the thing that I think you just wanted to put it down in a sentence, it's everybody knows the ball's coming your way and there's nothing you can do. Like there's nothing the defense can do to stop it. And I would argue that like typically we, you know, and I think reception perception data would back this up.
Mm-hmm.
Typically, we think about like the amount of double coverage and extra defensive attention and stuff like that. It doesn't really happen as much as we think. Like people talk about going in, like every number one receiver, like every top receiver on a depth chart, just getting double covered every snap. Like no way. That's you would just be conceding yards and points.
Yeah.
Like there, right. We don't have like Mountain West players as the at the second, third, and fourth receiver spots. It's not how it works. But
yeah, exactly.
There are occasionally true coverage dictators, and Justin Jefferson is absolutely one of them. In 2022, he was doubled on 21.1% of his routes. That's the second highest in the full RP database dating back to like 2014. The only other one that's the tops that is Davante Adams in 2021. Another guy with like you knew on the Packers who was coming in there and who was getting the ball. You know, Justin Jefferson saw press coverage on 28.3%. That's the second highest rate for any receiver so far in the 2022 database. Like Kevin O'Connell, I think, said it in the post-draft presser for Jordan Addison, like you're going to get the easiest looks in the entire NFL, basically.
Yeah,
that's why, because like Justin Jefferson is that good and he's posting those success rates with that extra defensive attention. It just that's special stuff for sure.
I mean, yeah, you take a look at just from what he did from a raw stats standpoint going from year two to year three, right? Like he goes from 108 receptions to 128 receptions. He goes from 1,600 yards to 1,800 yards, right? And again, this is with the entire league knowing what's up. I do think that Kevin O'Connell, even though he did not necessarily stick with that idea of, oh, let's move Justin Jefferson more into the slot. He actually played, as you mentioned, in the slot less than what he did in 2021. I just think the creativity in the routes selection, I think, was better. And again, you take a look at what he did in 2021, a lot less slant routes for Justin Jefferson. So a little bit more creativity, a little bit more downfield too, Matt,
mm-hmm.
You know, maybe not necessarily on the quote unquote nine route, but you know, I think when you take a look at, you know, the dig, the curl, the out, the post corner, it's just when you, in totality, all of that came off the slant, in 2021 in that Zimmer boomer ball era. But he goes from 22% slant route percentage in 2021 to 12%. Slant route percentage in 2022. Now that 10% route percentage went somewhere and it was all dispersed mostly, I think, a little bit deeper downfield. And I think that's where he thrived.
Yeah, you're right. His nine route percentage last year is like 9.3%. You know, it's not very high, but that's fine because
yeah,
those are low percentage plays. Like we've talked about George Pickens, like how running those go routes all the time are going to bring down your average success rate because all of these color, I mean, my God, the color coding is driving me nuts on Twitter, but like, just obsessing with the colors, but like all of these routes are color coded based on the individual route type average. And the nine route obviously has the lowest average success rate of all of these routes. So
of course
it makes sense why you don't want to necessarily do that, but like running a corner route on 8.4% with an 82.1% success rate, you know, that's incredibly impressive. The out route, the dig route, like you mentioned, those intermediate routes, and Kirk Cousins is pretty good at throwing in that intermediate range of the field. He ran the flat route much more often in 2022 than he did in 2021. Yeah, there's nothing like within Justin Jefferson's route tree where, you know, some of these guys, like, they just run a ton of downfield routes. They're very vertically inclined. He's a full field guy. And I think that was really impressive. Like, yeah, to note that 22% of his routes were slants in 2021 and 12.7% of his slants were in 2022. That's, and the fact that his success rates were still that high is very, very impressive.
Yeah. I mean, he improved on the nine route in 2022. I mean, think about that for a second. He improved and by a significant chunk, 66%, 66.7% success rate in 2021, and then a 77.4% success rate in 2022, tops among all players charted thus far in 2022. That is incredibly, incredibly impressive, man. Again, because he's not only just bending defensive schemes towards him, but people know where the ball is going and they just cannot stop it, man. It is just so impressive what he's doing. Again, as a year three player, it's nuts.
Yeah, year three player. So all of these things, you know, in totality, again, 98th percentile success rate versus press, like eighth best all time in reception perception history since 2014. Crazy right. stuff. You know, he's just heading into his fourth season now. He hasn't even gotten a monster contract extension. By the way, can you imagine what that contract's going to look like when it comes out? It's going to be crazy. All these right. things considered, you think is he the best receiver in football right now in your mind, Justin Jefferson?
He's certainly up there, man. Golly. I mean, when we start talking about the best, though, it's so hard, right? Because the next guy on this list that we're going to talk about, I think his upside is truly higher than Justin Jefferson, if that makes any sense. I think Ja'Marr Chase, honestly, might have a higher upside than Justin Jefferson. And Justin Jefferson he's an all-timer, man. He's an absolute all-timer. But again, I was a guy that said Ja'Marr Chase, day one, never played a snap in the NFL. I'm like, this guy's a Hall of Famer. Just you look at the athletic profile, you look at what he did on the field, and people said, gee whiz, man, like how are you, you know, why are you so bullish on this dude? It's like, I mean, come on, you know, and what we've seen thus far in the NFL, Matt, is that Ja'Marr Chase truly is that dude. I've got some concerns with the coaching. And we'll get into that. But boy, I tell you, your numbers on him that came out this past season, they look great.
I mean, yeah. And I think Ja'Marr Chase has to be considered in the top five, you know, wide receivers right now. It's like, yep, Davante Adams is still there. Yep. When we're talking about the best, what he did last year, especially going, like, leaving the Green Bay cocoon, leaving the Aaron Rodgers cocoon and bursting into the beautiful butterfly he was with the Las Vegas Raiders. I mean, that was impressive. Like,
okay,
you know, Steph Diggs is 100% still up there to me. AJ Brown's up there. You know, Cooper Kupp, can't forget about him. But like Ja'Marr Chase, I think he's got to be involved in this conversation here in terms of like the best receiver in the NFL too, because and I think I was definitely not as out there as you in terms of he's a future Hall of Famer, right? But like, the reason that he is the highest, like the number one ranked prospect in the stack prospect rankings on the site, the reason that he is so good is like, there are no holes in his game. He truly does everything well. He drops like an occasional pass that you don't want. Who cares? That does whatever. But like literally he does not have a weakness. And that was true in his collegiate profile.
Yep.
And it comes back to route running because, and again, another guy named Drop got to sit down with the Super Bowl. Definitely actually looked that conversation up on YouTube. It was a good one with Ja'Marr Chase, like talking about route running and technique and stuff like that. I'll reference that again when we talk about the point I know you want to make about the coaching. But, you know, Ja'Marr is a really underrated technical player. And, you know, this is a guy in back-to-back seasons now, 75.3% exactly. against man coverage, like the literal same score. We know that 75% success rate versus man coverage metric is an extremely strong indicator. As I always say, if you clear that number, you're over 75% success. You are one of the, you're almost a lock to become like one of the best receivers in the NFL. The only guys like haven't done that is like Sterling Shepard and Curtis Samuel. Talk about that all the time. That is an incredibly good indicator. 80% success rate versus 80.5% success rate versus zone coverage this past year. 91st percentile success rate versus press. While running press coverage, running against press coverage at 36.5% of his sampled routes, an extremely high mark. I mean, this is a guy who has shown from his college film to now that, yeah, we know the splash plays are there. His after catch ability is great. His 50-50 ball domination is real. But he is a great route runner. He's a really good technical player. Like, he's explosive and he mixes all of the type of deception stuff that we'll talk about here in just a second. Like, that's a that's just a complete number one receiver. And again, I think when you mention best route runners in the NFL, I think you have to talk about Ja'Marr Chase, because like, he's running against press man coverage at a high rate and he's winning at a really high rate.
Isn't that interesting too? Because I think a lot of folks just say, well, Ja'Marr Chase is just a beast athlete. You know, I think they kind of sort of downplay his technical side, don't they?
I think so too. And I think that was the case as a prospect. I mean, there were people that were like, I don't know if he separates well enough and as a collegiate prospect. It's like, it's not that he can't separate. It's that he's doing, like, we talk about these receivers in college and like these kind of Mickey Mouse offenses, you know, they're running little slants and they're running against zone coverage. You're not seeing any press. Go back and look at the 2021 sortable prospect data and see the type of coverage that Ja'Marr Chase was playing against. He was
It's ridiculous.
Yeah, he was playing, he was being pressed on like 40% of his routes. He was doing big boy NFL X receiver stuff as like a kid in college, you know, and was breaking, you know, breaking the math at LSU. I mean, that's the type of prospect he was. So I think this is not a surprise. And the cool thing about what he's become with the Bengals, or just the Bengals offense in general, they also have this guy named T. Higgins, who's really good, you know, and right, T. Higgins is like a classic throwback X receiver. So like, the Bengals are able to move, like, Ja'Marr Chase has all the skills, the profile, the build, the ability of a legit number one NFL X receiver. But, you know, there, he was only lined up outside on 77.6% of his sampled snaps, was only on the line for 66%. They're able to move Ja'Marr Chase around and get in these matches. It's like, you can understand why the Bengals are like, all right, we're going to just dedicate like 70% of our future contract salary to T Higgins, Ja'Marr Chase, and Joe Burrow, because we ain't breaking this band up. It's too special.
It really is a special thing. And it always harkens back to, you know, people say, oh, well, they have enough, right? And whatever team you're talking about, it's like, oh, well, they have enough. Like, I love hearing about the Kansas City Chiefs. Well, they got Patrick Mahomes, so they have enough. The Baltimore Ravens, their whole mentality of, we've got Lamar, so we have enough in the past. No, listen, teams that are special, teams like the Bengals that are you know, continually, you know, fighting for AFC championships and Super Bowl appearances, it's not because they're a well-balanced team. You know what I'm saying? It's because they are truly special in one area. It reminds me, it goes back to Peyton Manning, right? And the Colts, you know, when he was with Marvin Harrison, when he had Reggie Wayne and Marvin Harrison, they were doing special, special things, right? So I don't know. To me, it's just like, you can never have enough of a good thing, you know? And if that one good thing is your pass game, lean into it, man. Get more of that stuff. That's why I hope KC actually gets DeAndre Hopkins, but whatever. That's neither here nor there.
Knowing how to speak and understand a new language can be an invaluable tool when traveling, meeting new friends, or just even to master a new skill. But it's not always simple when you're bogged down by textbooks and structure classes. That's why so many people trust Rosetta Stone. Rosetta Stone is the most trusted language learning program, available on desktop or as an app. It truly immerses you in the language you want to learn, like Spanish, French, Italian, Chinese, and more. You won't just be studying English translations. The Rosetta Stone intuitive process helps you pick up a language naturally, first with words, then phrases, then sentences.
Don't put off learning that language. There's no better time than right now to get started. For a very limited time, listeners can get Rosetta Stone's lifetime membership for 50% off. Visit rosettastone.com/rs10. That's 50% off unlimited access to 25 language courses for the rest of your life. Redeem your 50% off at rosettastone.com/rs10 today.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
This is Reception Perception, the show. Now, James Coe and Matt Harmon.
I want to get back to Ja'Marr Chase here, though. Okay, so 12 games he played, 87 receptions, broke 1,000 yards, had 9 touchdowns in just 12 games, which is crazy. 65% catch rate. As you mentioned, the threshold of 75% success rate versus man, 80% versus zone, 80% versus press. That's a threshold that you really look at, the 75, 80, 80 line, in terms of, okay, this guy's got the goods.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, this guy's got the goods, and he's like again, we're talking about the best receivers in football. Those are the guys that do that. That's the 75, 80, 80 mark. Like those are the best of the best. You can't go back into the sortable database and see many guys that are doing that, though you wouldn't be like, yep, that's a stud right there. Like, that's one of the dudes in the NFL. And by the way, what makes this absolutely crazy, you know, Ja'Marr Chase, the exact 75.3% success rate versus man, cleared 80% success rate versus zone and press, you know, in back-to-back seasons. In both years, the 9 route was his most frequently run route. Like,
yeah.
He is getting open at these levels. That is ridiculous. What we just talked about in the last segment, where the 9 route has the lowest average success rate. Like, people, the George Pickens stands are it's just because he runs all these go routes, it brings his success rates down. That's true. Ja'Marr Chase is running go routes at an insane and at the most, like the highest clip in terms of all of his routes, and he's still getting open at this level. It's nuts stupid. Stuff. And this past year too, like I know T. Higgins is a good player, but Ja'Marr Chase doubled on 19.2% of his sampled routes.
Good, like, God.
They know who the guy is in the offense, like the most dangerous player. And that's actually, the go route stuff is really cool, because that was one thing from our conversation at the Super Bowl, where I asked him like what his favorite route to run is, and he explained to the terminology in the Bengals offense, and it's basically like you sell the go route, sell, go, sell, go, sell, go, sell, go, and then you stop. Like it's like a little, basically a big curl route. And you see them bring that out all the time in the postseason, the Bengals do. So like you think about Ja'Marr Chase and these big plays in the regular season, then in the postseason, they've brought these like this route out where it's just like a stop route. And it's so hard to stop because teams are terrified of Ja'Marr Chase taking it over the top. That you play off, you play like it's going to be a deep route, and then he's able to snap that back. That's technique, route running, and deception. Like what makes a great receiver right there. So Chase, it's like you can't really talk about it enough, how insane that is.
Okay, so you talk about the usage, and that's really what I want to get into here. I've got some concern over his usage. You know, 25.5% of his routes were on nines. That's just astronomically high, right? Like anytime you start clearing 15%, that's just, it's crazy high. And to be at over 25%, that means more than one out of every four route is a nine, bro. That's not good. You know what I'm saying? And then you mix that in with 21.7% route percentage on slants. So we're talking nearly half of all of his routes are either just go or slant. To me, that is the definition of lacking creativity. And when you look at what you've charted here, Matt, it's not that he can't do other things. I get it. If you have a limited player who, again, doesn't have the hips or the leg drive or whatever it might be, can't snap off at the very top of the stem, That's not who we're talking about here with Ja'Marr Chase. This man can run every route. So to pigeonhole him 50% of his routes, either going long or on the slant, that's a criminal misuse of this man's talents.
Yeah, I totally get that. I would also just say, too, that him being that high of a go route rate, you know, like, remember, I know you know this. I'm saying this to everybody else. Like, I'm charting all the routes that they run. So not the routes are getting targeted. So in these routes where these plays where Ja'Marr Chase is running that go route and he's being doubled at the high rate, you know, he's getting press coverage at that high rate that he is. He's pushing. They're clear out routes. He's pushing the defense back and opening things up for guys like T. Higgins and Tyler Boyd. And, you know, like Joe Burrow's
throwing some tight end
clutch,
they got.
I was just going to say Joe Burrow's throwing some clutch passes to like Hayden Hurst last year. Trying to do it with old Irv Smith this year, you know. Samaje Perine, like people were talking about, wow, Samaje Perine really shined as a pass catcher last year. Yeah, I wonder why. Probably because the number one receiver is like pushing the defense completely this way, you know, two guys, and Samaje Perine's doing himself off in the flat here or whatever. So I do understand the point that like they can mix up the route tree, but it's also tough because, oh, by the way, that was all the, hey, this benefits other players. You know what's really benefits Ja'Marr Chase is when he runs the go route, gets open at 67.9% success rate on the nine route.
Correct.
And Joe Burrow drops that thing and like sticks the knife in your heart, you know? So they are very good on those go routes. I think they did take some steps towards the back half of the year. The Bengals did. And some of this is Burrow too. Like Burrow taking the steps to you know, Ja'Marr runs that go route and it's awesome, but I'm going to check the ball down to the running back. I'm going to check the ball down to the tight end. And I think the offense did get better for it. So yeah, I hear your point. They could certainly, you know, mix them up on some dig routes and out routes and comeback routes, stuff like that. But that's always going to be a big part of what the Bengals do in offense because they are very good at it.
I mean, I hear that, but at the same time, we just got done talking about Ja'Marr Chase, Justin Jefferson, his versatility everywhere in the field and the fact that he's great everywhere in the field. Hey, listen, I understand you want to clear the field a little bit for some of your ancillary players, but you know what? You know when the offense is the best? When you throw to your best players, okay?
Yeah, it's true.
Let's get Ja'Marr Chase the ball just a touch more. It's fine. Guys, it's fine if he gets 12 targets a game. If he gets 12 targets, that's fine, okay? I understand. We're going to clear the stuff out for T. Higgins and Boyd and what, pick your tight end, right? That's fine, okay? But let's get Ja'Marr Chase the ball. And I just think, like, when you watch the Bengals play, and I know a lot of Bengals fans are going to agree with me here. There's a lot of times when Ja'Marr Chase is just invisible because again, he's shifted the coverage over to his side. You talk about that high double team rate. Well, listen, it's so much easier to double team a guy when he's running a nine route. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
I mean, the NFL right now, Matt, is 100% geared towards stopping those boundary throws, right? Yeah. Cover two is absolutely trying to just snuff that out. Right. So I think for me, it's just kind of like, well, okay, well, why don't we run the post? Why don't we run a dig? You know, like let's run some of these cover two beaters and get Ja'Marr Chase the ball. That's just my concern, you know? And again, I get that he's great on the slant route. That's great. 21.7% of his routes don't need to be slants though, in my opinion. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like,
yeah,
I get it. You want to get him some layup throws. That's fine. You and I are in total agreement about getting guys layup throws just to get them going. That's cool. You know, you're going to get the ball. Plus this guy after the catch, man, just unbelievable. You know what I mean?
Unbelievable. But, yeah.
So I get that part, but I mean, let's just mix it up just a little bit, man. Let's get more creative. And you know what's crazy to me too, Matt? We're talking about the coaches here, right? Like Zach Taylor, Brian Callahan, the offensive coordinator for the Bengals. These guys are 40 years and younger, right?
Yeah,
Zach Taylor's a former quarterback. You know what I'm saying? Like, I don't get it. Like, they're running the most old school passing offense in the NFL. Just, you know, this is a throwback to 90s football, the way that they're deploying Ja'Marr Chase, which is just, I don't know. It just, to me, it doesn't make sense. Like, what is going on? You've got these young coaches. You've got Zach Taylor, who, by the way, when he played, he was a gunslinger too. You know what I'm saying? So I don't get it. What am I missing here? They're just not as creative as you would think that they are for two coaches that are 40 years and younger.
Yeah, they run like 989 so much in that offense, you know, which is basically just like our like we're going to dunk on you with our receivers because they're so good. I think that they have, I think your criticism about the Bengals coaching staff, that they're, you know, conservative or just kind of basic in their route designs and play calling, because we have play, we, they just know that they have players better than you. It can feel stale is not the right word, but it can leave you wanting more, basically, is kind of what we're coming to here. Again, I think they've gotten better about that, especially like this past postseason. I think they did get a little bit, they've gotten that more involved. And some of it's also the quarterback too. Like I think we're talking about Ja'Marr Chase and Joe Burrow have played together since the LSU days when they were doing this is what they were doing in college, like running empty and Ja'Marr Chase and at that time Justin Jefferson crazy just go dunk on everybody, and they did, you know, on the way to like a national championship, right. So I think though it comes back to the player too with Ja'Marr Chase, which is this guy is capable of having like I think a 20 touchdown season at some point, you know. He's capable of having like a 1800 yard season, you know, pushing like Justin Jefferson did last year. It's going to be a little bit more difficult because, you know, Justin Jefferson's run of routes with old man Adam Thielen and like KJ Osborne. And again, Ja'Marr Chase is going to be playing with T. Higgins probably for the long term here. I think they get all these three guys signed to an extension. So how are we going to get like an 180 target season from Ja'Marr Chase? Well, eventually Tyler Boyd's not going to be their slot receiver. Eventually they're going to have this like Joe Burrow rehabilitation tight end tour is going to, you know, not work out 1 year or something like that. Their slot receiver, you know, might be like Charlie Jones in a few years. And at that point we could someday look at a 180 target season for Ja'Marr Chase. And in that scenario, they are going to have to mix up like the route combinations and the pre-snap deployment, even though they do a pretty good job at the pre-snap deployment part of it with Ja'Marr Chase, like that will be a big part of it when that time comes in the next few years.
Okay. By the way, all the after catch and contested catch statistics and stuff not shown generally on the player profiles when you go to receptionperception.com. This is why you need a Prime membership to see the sortable data. I'm pushing the sortable data, Matt, and you know this. People don't go to the sortable data enough, man.
Know,
like we
they
get
don't, yeah.
We see the stats and you're like, okay, I get it. You want to see the profiles, you want to see the write-ups. I totally understand that, but you gotta follow that up with some of the sortable data as well. So I would encourage our users who are currently on the site, go check out the sortable data. I think you will be surprised. And honestly, if you're just a stat head and just a nerd of football in general, it's like, that's the kind of stuff that you like dig in and be like, oh, this is interesting. This is interesting. You know what I mean? So I'm just pushing the users to that area of the site, by the way. So go check it out.
I'm quite literally begging them to go to the sortable table. I'm quite literally begging people on Twitter today, like this offseason, my main thing has been stop looking at the colors of the route chart. I get it. It's a good thing.
Right.
Please stop screenshotting the route chart and like just saying one word take about a player. I hesitate ever saying anything about this on Twitter, because it's like, does it really matter? But like,
no.
Does it really matter? No, but it's like your take about the colors of the route chart might be not true, like might not be right. Like, but so read the profiles, go to the sortable tables. There's so much more. Like the whole point of reception perception, why I've always fought back against like, you know, people like, well, you should distill this all down to one number, you know, one grade or something like that. And by the way, I want to at some point come out with, well, I'm not going to do that, but like, I do want to come out with like my NFL wide receiver rankings on the site, but it's not going to be it's not going to be taking all the data points and mashing them into one grade. The point of reception perception is to take all this data into context with each other.
Exactly.
And that's why it's all there. Not just more red bad, more green good on the freaking route charts. So I know it's like the route charts are good marketing. It's good stuff. They're good. But come on, man. Like, it's why we bust our ass to put the stuff all out there on the site. So do more than just look at the colors, and definitely go to the sortable data tables where there's like so much untold stuff there that we don't focus on a lot.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law. eBay Motors is here for the ride. Remember when you first saw the potential? And then through some elbow grease, fresh installs, and a whole lot of love, you transformed 100,000 miles and a body full of rust into a drive that's all your own. Look to your left. Look to your right. It's official. No one's got a ride like this. There's nothing else that sounds like, feels like, or looks like the set of wheels in your garage. With over 122 million parts, you can make sure your number one ride or die stays running smoothly, so there's no limit to how far you can take it. Brake kits, turbochargers, engines, exhaust kits, roof racks, LED headlights, bumpers, whatever your baby needs, eBay Motors has it. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, it's guaranteed to fit your ride the first time, every time, or your money back. Plus, at these prices, well, you're burning rubber, not cash. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
This is Reception Perception, the show. Now, James Coe and Matt Harmon.
Okay, so we started this show, Matt, by talking about weird affinities for players.
What a transition.
Yeah, and... You know, a couple years ago, or last year in particular, I think a lot of folks, oh no, 2 years ago, people were definitely very nicely saying you had a weird affinity for Brandon Ayuk. And you just got done with his profile, you posted it to the site. And a lot of the things that, you know, you believed after watching his rookie tape still hold true going like after year three now. 78 receptions, his first 1,000-yard season, 10-15 to be exact. 8 touchdowns, really good number. A 68.5% catch rate, which I think is pretty good too, given his role in this offense. And I just thought, okay, and, you know, people saw it from a raw statistical standpoint, but I just thought from, you know, the numbers that you posted here in Reception Perception, I thought he really took a step forward as a player and a route runner as well in 2022.
Yeah, I mean, we've talked about Brandon Ayuk on the podcast, and that was like a nice, you're right, that would have been a nice way for people to say it at the time, like, oh yeah, a bit of a weird affinity for Brandon Ayuk. It was probably more heated than that after like the first 6 weeks of the season when the guy was not playing. And wasn't that basically the first year after we launched the site? It's like, great, we're going to have to close shop.
People were so mad about Brandon Ayuk. Good God. All right.
Yeah, because, you know, he was just in the doghouse and all that stuff. And I think, you know, what we've learned about the whole doghouse thing and you know, basically like what I said to people going into last year was you need to take those like first 8 weeks of the season and just like forget it ever happened, basically. And just like think of who Brandon Ayuk, like the trajectory that he's on besides that point. What we've learned about that doghouse thing is like a lot of what Shanahan was riding Ayuk so hard about was like he wanted him to tighten up the details, tighten up the fundamentals, because he believed he had incredibly high potential and he wasn't working to that level in the offseason and practices and or even running the routes at the exact right depth or the exact right pace and tempo that the offense required, even if he was getting open. Like, he could be better than that. And I think Reception Perception would agree. Like, he has that type of potential. I mean, his third season, it was so awesome. And I know, like, raw stats perspective, he's competing with Debo. He's competing with George Kittle. Mm-hmm. But, you know, Shanahan is so great at scheming guys up, right? You know, the tops, I call him one of the top schemers in the NFL. Debo Samuel, he's got a very creative role for him. Obviously, what they can do with McCaffrey, what they've done with other receivers. But this offense still functions, I think, personally, at its best when they have a true number one coverage dictating X receiver who beats man coverage at a high rate, who beats press coverage at a high rate, and stresses the defense vertically. And baby, Brandon Ayuk is that guy. Like, he lined up outside on 81.3% of his sampled snaps. He was on the line for 83.9% of his sampled snaps. Like, there's no oh, let's scheme something up for Brandon Ayuk. Mostly what Brandon Ayuk does is go out, face top coverage on the outside, and win. And he wins, man. 79.3% success rate versus press, 77.1% success rate versus man coverage. Those are the 89th and 91st percentile in reception perception right. history. I mean, those are incredible indicators. It puts him in similar company to guys like AJ Brown and Terry McLaurin earlier in their career. Like, he definitely belongs in that pantheon of wide receivers. Like, to me, Brandon Ayuk is a number one receiver through and through. I think his situation right now is very similar to like Stephon Diggs in Minnesota. Run heavy offense. We know he's a good player. I think everybody agrees Brandon Ayuk is good. Everybody agreed Stephon right. Diggs is good at that time. But like, he is definitely capable if the right circumstance ever arose, whether it was in San Francisco or whether it is elsewhere at some point, because they can't make all the contracts work. I mean, he could definitely have like a, you know, what Diggs became in Buffalo. Like, he could definitely be that guy. That's how good Ayuk is.
Like a perennial 1400 dude where, you know, you're just totally. Like, oh, okay, this guy's an absolute stud. Now, he just, from a raw statistical standpoint, just hasn't necessarily been that guy. There's such a heavy competition for targets there. It's run heavy, as you mentioned. I'm going to even mention George Kittle, right? Like, George right. Kittle is a guy that needs to get the ball too, right? So Deebo Samuel is a guy that needs to get the football too. So you just talked about this with Ja'Marr Chase in that competition for targets. You know, is he ever going to post one of those 170 target seasons?
Yeah, no.
Brandon Ayuk certainly is not going to be that guy. Not so long as Shanahan is there and they've got a capable run game. Even if, I mean, thing is with Shanahan, anyone's a capable running back in that system. But yeah, like, you got Shanahan there. They're going to run. They're so good at running too, by the way. And Deebo Samuel and George Kittle are there. It's like, when the hell is Brandon Ayuk going to see 170? When's he going to see 150 targets? You know, like, it's going to be tough. You know what I mean? But, you know, Matt, when I look at this man's profile, by the way, you mentioned the 77% success rate versus man. That was the, you know, second highest man score in 2022. Second highest only to Justin Jefferson, higher than Ja'Marr Chase. And again, I get it. You know, the whole nine route thing, we just got done talking about that. Fine. But, you know, Matt, in my opinion, I feel like the three most important routes in football today, anyways, are truly the post, dig, and slant. Obviously, they're all in breaking routes, but these are routes that in today's NFL can potentially be cover two breakers, especially the post and the dig. And those three routes for Brandon Ayuk, the post, the dig, and the slant, this man was absolutely special, and you could not defend this man on those three routes.
Yeah, and the curl route's definitely not as important as it once was when their team was running more man coverage, because it's more of a man-beating route, what we just talked about with Ja'Marr Chase and like the deception stuff. And yeah, those cover two beating routes, two deep safety, stuff like that. Like, I think every receiver I talk to, and especially guys under 25, they all say they want to play out of the slot more. And they all say, like, I remember talking about this with Garrett Wilson, like, he's like, all I want to do is run, you know, basically out of the slot and run deep posts, like bang between two safeties, which is because that's exactly where the modern NFL defense is at this point. Yeah, those routes are incredibly good indicators for Ayuk. And it's, I think, really where the development has come from, because I don't have college reception perception data for Brandon Ayuk, because that was during my like 2 year gap of charting prospects. But kind of the book on Ayuk coming out of school was he was like a raw route runner, and he wasn't really technically refined. He was, you know, a guy that could feast on off man coverage and stuff like that, but a lot of it was like working to the sideline, working down the field, those like his best big plays. And like, he was probably, maybe he was going to be like a designed after catch type, like kind of like a Kadarius Toney type, honestly, is what he was sort of billed as. The fact that he's developed into one of the premier route runners on slants and digs and posts, like, yeah, that's why we're that's why I've got a weird affinity for Brandon Ayuk. And that's why the 49ers coaching staff pushes him so hard, because he has the potential to be truly, like, legitimately special on the most important routes in the NFL right now. And yeah, I mean, that's like, it's why I'm just so high on this player. And I know he might be frustrating for dynasty and stuff like that. And how high can you rank him in fantasy because of the situation he's in? But man, like, the whole goal of reception perception is isolating players from the surroundings. And really, when you isolate him, he's just such a good player. player, such a good receiver. I, whenever I do come out with those NFL receiver rankings, like I think Brandon Ayuk's better receiver than like T. Higgins. I think Brandon Ayuk is a better receiver than a lot of guys that people would think are I don't even know. Like I'd have to sit here and think like who can I really hot take this thing about? But yeah, I think Brandon Ayuk is like a fringe. He's at least a top 15 receiver in the NFL right now, based purely on ability.
So Brandon Ayuk, when we're talking about the post dig and slant, 82.6% success rate on the post, crazy high, 86.7% success rate on the dig, crazy high, and 84.6% success rate on the slant, which is really, 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 really good. So all three of those routes make up about 50% of his route total. So that I just like, again, I love what Shanahan does. You know, he's read the room and said, okay, you want to run cover two? That's fine. I've got my best player running these cover two breakers and we'll just do that. and we'll just do that. He's really good at that. And we'll just get him going, in that aspect. But can I go back to the whole prospect thing? Okay. So this is a guy that played at Arizona State. Obviously, you know me, I'm a Pac-12 guy. I watched this guy play a lot. I never understood this whole, like, I mean, yes, they found different weird collegiate creative ways to get him the football, but it's like, that's, I never understood that. Like, just watch the guy play for like, I mean, I watched him play, you know, I don't know, 6 or 10 games or whatever it was, but I mean, he was running NFL routes, you know, it's not like he's running this Mickey Mouse stuff. Like, it didn't make sense. Like, has he developed as a route? Of course he has, but it's like, come on now. Like, it's not like he just went from ground zero to where he is today. He was still running a lot of those same things in college too, guys. You know, like, I just don't understand, you know, like, yeah, you could find weird, creative, collegiate ways to get a man a football, especially when he's a great athlete. Oh, by the way, can you talk about that? His after the catch ability and his contested catch ability. These are two areas where I was watching him play at Arizona State and just absolutely destroying my Cal Bears. I'm like, yeah, this guy's a special player. Right.
So yeah, like, contested. Like, all right. Contested catchability, this past year, 77.8% contested catch rate on 16.4% of his sample targets were a contested target. And he's definitely a big time tackle breaker. More so last year, in 2021, the previous season, like that was where I think him and Debo were 1 and 2 in percentage of multiple, like, in space attempts where they broke multiple tackles. This past year, Ayuk was only in space on 9.1% of his routes, which is, it's not that it's not among the league leaders. Right. And he went down on first contact on 55%, but you know, after catch stuff can still be random and he's so physical and explosive. We know that. So yeah, it's definitely a strength of his game, even though I think like last year, they're really having him do like the Julio Jones role with the Falcons in 2016, like when that offense was cooking with Shanahan, like that's the position that Ayuk is basically playing now. You're not going to be as much like the after catch guy there, but he has that ability, right? Like if it's in a short space and he needs to break a couple tackles, he can definitely do that to like get in the end zone or get a first down, stuff like that. He's another guy that has like a lot of, I'm not going to say he has no holes in his game like Jamar Chase, but he definitely checks a lot of boxes. That's for sure.
Yeah. Yeah, he really does. And again, I'll also bring this back too, just for a little bit of perspective too. When you run deeper routes, your ability to break tackles becomes way less. You know, most of the tackle breaking stuff happens on these slant routes, you know, or routes that are basically, you know, closer to the line of scrimmage. So once you start getting down deep, obviously, I mean, just visualize it. You know, you go downfield and a guy catches the ball, he gets tackled immediately. You know what I mean? So
the top three guys in terms of percentage of the routes in space in reception perception right now on the website, CeeDee Lamb, Amon-Ra St. Brown, Juju Smith-Schuster. Like these are guys who run a ton of routes out of the slot. They get those routes in space.
Thank you.
Yeah, so that definitely makes a big difference there. It's like why people always would bring up a couple years ago, there was this weird thing on fantasy Twitter where it's like, is Mike Evans that good? Like, look at his yards after catch. Have you seen the routes that Mike Evans runs?
Why are you even bringing up yards after catch with Mike Evans? That is the most stupid argument.
After Mike Evans from the X
catches
receiver
a 50-yard bomb, right?
Yeah, like high-pointed 40-yard go route from. By the way, at that point, Jameis Winston wasn't exactly. Let me anticipate the window when he's coming open on the dig route against cover two, zone coverage, middle of the field. Yeah, when he catches like a 40-yard heater on a go route from the X receiver position from Jameis Winston. Yeah, he may have only gotten 0.1 inch after the catch. What a disappointment.
Unbelievable. It's like that's, oh my gosh, it's stupid. Anyways, all right, this show has run a little bit long, but you know what? It was great to get Matt back on the horn here. Great to talk about these receivers yet again. Matt, give the folks out there a little bit more of a timeline of data drops and all that kind of stuff. And oh, by the way, in the background, we talked to QB Class, Derek Klassen, last week. He's working. He is working real hard to get some quarterback stats up, and we're going to have that relatively soon. I don't have the exact timeline. I don't have an exact timeline. We want to make sure when we roll it out, it looks really good. But Matt, you got your stuff more dialed in. Give the folks out there a little idea of what the timeline's looking like over the next couple of weeks.
Yeah, hopefully if people skipped over the episode last week because I wasn't on it, don't do that. Go back and listen to it. Great episode with Derek Klassen explaining some of what he does and talking about the rookie quarterbacks. But yeah, so for me, going to finish this week, just again, the year 3 to 4 wide receiver drop. Like I mentioned, CeeDee Lamb should be up on the site by the time you're listening to this. T. Higgins is next. Kadarius Toney, Gabe Davis, Rashad Bateman, Nico Collins after that. Then going to move on to like the actual guys that everybody thinks is the best receiver in the NFL. You know, like the guys that you know and love, like DK Metcalf and Cooper Kupp, you know, Stephon Diggs, Tyreek Hill, Davante Adams. Some of those massive, massive big names coming next. That's the final drop that will take place just before July 4th. And then after that, it'll just be kind of like throwing guys up, filling in gaps, you know, some of these year 3 to 4 players, that I didn't get to, some other guys here and there, should be good, man. A lot of guys still left to chart, seems like, but
no doubt,
a lot of interesting, really good, fun players to chart. So that's exciting.
All right, receptionperception.com. And again, if you want more context, go check out those sortable data tables. As well. And again, we encourage those folks who are discovering us for the very first time. If you would like and subscribe to the podcast, we would very much appreciate it. All right. Show has run way too long, man. We got to get the hell out of here. For Matt Harmon, I'm James Coe. We'll see you.